Guys, I just want to say you guys have, like, the best podcast, and I, like, really like it and stuff. My favorite one is The Freak Owl. It's just hilarious. There's nothing really to say. I'm loving the podcast. It's pretty... Doug, put it down! It's just pretty awesome.
How you doing out there, podcast people? This is Nobody's Listening Podcast, brought to you it's brought to you sometime in the near future. It's brought to you the week of July 2012, 2007.
That's my favorite date.
I'm completely on top of my game today, Amy. It's great.
So am I. It's okay. I'm on it too.
Anyway, Nobody's Listening is a podcast where we hope that that we want to tell you our funny life stories, and we'll hope you do the same. Okay, God.
We want to hope.
Dang it!
We want to.
You confusing people. You horrible. I'm gonna blame the listeners. But anyway, I am one of your hosts. My name is James, and my sister's here.
My name is Amy,
and we're very, very sad today. I have a throat thing going on, and
I have a nose thing going on.
All right, so we just need David to be back on the show with an ear thing, and then we can go to one specialist.
Right, because we're all very ears, sickly people.
Nose, and throat, and all of which we become very familiar with when we have children. Anyway, let's not waste any time. Amy's got to go to a drive-in, and I don't want to be in her way, so let's jump right into...
What's been going on? Here's your weekly update. It's my
life. All right, Amy, do you have a weekly update, or do you want me to go first?
I do. It's quite pitiful of me, but, my husband and I went to dinner with our pastor on Saturday night, and we get out of the restaurant, and we sit in the car, and he's like, you know what? My throat hurts. And I was like, so does mine. So anyway, to make a very short story even shorter, it just progressively got worse throughout the rest of the night. And by 5 a.m, we're like, we're not going to sleep. Let's just get up and watch TV. And it was horrible, and our throats were killing us, and we were stuffed up.
You and the pastor?
No, me and Anthony.
Oh,
and
there
is a point that we went with the pastor. So it was Saturday night. So the next day, obviously, was church. And I was like, what are the chances that we're fine during dinner with the pastor? And we're like, ha, 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 you know. And then we get in the car and we all of a sudden both get sick. Mm. Like anybody would ever believe that. You can't just not go to church after not sleeping all night and being sick when 5 minutes earlier you were out to dinner with the pastor. So it was really quite funny. I mean, it wasn't at the time. It is now that I think of it. We did end up getting up and going to church because we were like, there's no way we can get away with this. And it's going to be so obvious. So
that's why you need to go to a giant church like I do.
Right. I know.
And just not be on staff.
Be so good in with the pastor that you can't even skip church without
he's going to call
being
you.
Noticed. He's coming, right. Exactly.
He's coming by your house.
Exactly. There's no unanimity. Anonymity?
There's no universality. Whatever.
Unanimity.
There's no coupons. I don't know what that meant. It fit just as well as unanimity. Anyway, okay, that was pretty good. That was, Amy, that was really good, actually. I don't even want to give mine now. But, okay, I have three, but I'm going to have to cut it down because Amy's got to go. One of them was coming from a couple weeks ago, but one of them was this week. I had to go. I bought David's truck before he left, as you probably know, Amy. And I had to go. David let his tags lapse, and it wouldn't matter anyway. I had to redo them because David moved here from Phoenix and had Phoenix tags. So I had to go to the DMV, one of the things that everyone enjoys doing. It's wonderful, loving people there in the DMV. Actually, I like that they call it the DMV because it sounds like you're saying it as a bad word. It almost does. I got to go to the DMV. See how that works? You're not even really cussing.
It is a bad word. Yeah. That's why.
I got to go to that DMV. So anyway, I go down there, and the lady's actually being, you know, her normal self, and just talking, and she actually called me sweetie and hun. And that's kind of like, you know, you worked at a truck stop, didn't you?
That's very Southern.
It's very waitressy. Yes. You know, and anyway, she wasn't being horrible, but she wasn't making eye contact. She wasn't being nice. She, you know, it was one of those things where I need your proof of insurance, and you hand her something like, is this it? And she doesn't respond. She just says, I need your proof of insurance. Like, you know, like I should know, like if I knew what it was, like I want to upset you, evil, evil, evil woman. Anyway, I thought about making a joke, and I wanted to make a joke because next door was one of these Asian nail salon places, and I almost walked into it. So I was going to be like, yeah, I actually walked in next door, and I was just going to make some joke about my nails feel great or something. But then I happened to look at her nails. And dude, Amy, let me tell you, she had the nicest nails I've ever seen. They were all decorated with graphics and stuff. And then I noticed the lady next door, and she was like really, really old, and she had gorgeous nails. And then the next one to her did, and then the next one to her didn't.
Oh, that's so
And funny. I realized these ladies had really bad attitudes, but they had really great nails.
And that's really what life's all about.
So there must have been a moment, though, where they were enjoying themselves all over there, you know, and the Asian ladies, maybe the DMV ladies had bought them pizza, and they're all over there eating lunch and doing nails and talking to each other and just whooping it up. And so I know, even though the DMV lady wasn't kind to me, somewhere out there she's enjoying herself. There's a place for lunch ladies and DMV workers and policemen where they can smile and be right. themselves. And so
absolutely.
If there's any listeners out there that work at the DMV, call and explain yourselves immediately. but I mentioned the one lady that didn't have her nails done. I finally figured out my joke. I wanted to say, you know, she's the new girl, isn't she?
Right.
Because she missed it. She missed the date. But then she'd have probably goes, excuse me? And then I'd have had to tell this entire story about, I just noticed you had nice nails. Yeah, what of it? Get out of my office. DM it, you know? It's just.
Right, anyway. Well, this is, I know I have to go like in 30 minutes, but I have to tell the story. I cannot believe I didn't tell it first.
Okay, go.
I guess it's so fresh and like painful, but my featured story is short, so I'll go with this.
Okay, cool.
Yesterday, Anthony's cousin's in town for the week, and yesterday we decided to go to Chicago to show around because people come here. We live near Chicago, and so that's automatically what people want to see.
Well, and you didn't have anything else going on.
Right.
Like a podcast recording.
Apparently
so
not.
So why not?
So we go to Chicago, okay? And we're parked all day having fun, and we go back to the car, and there's a ticket on the car. We purposely fed the meter all day long, and we were like, what? How did we get a ticket? So Anthony opens it up, and it's a ticket for an expired tag. And so he's like, how is this possible? I paid for my tag and they never sent it. And so he's like, I have a receipt in the glove box. It's okay. I'll send it in. And we're like, well, there's a cop right over there. We're driving down the road. There's a cop right over there. Why don't we drive down
Let's
and talk to the cop and see.
Let's get some donuts.
See if he can take care of it, you know, right now. And we're like, well, he probably can't, but we'll at least ask him about it because we're not in our town. And it said you had to go to court. So do we have to go to court in Chicago or can we go in Rockford?
Yeah.
So anyway, we drive down the road to this cop. The cop walks up to the car. Anthony didn't honk at him, didn't do anything. Walks up to the car. He's got the horriblest, meanest look on his face ever. He knocks on the window. Roll the window down. And Anthony's like, what the heck? So he rolls the window down. The cop's like, license and proof of insurance. And Anthony's like, from me? Okay. And he's like, what's wrong? And I thought it was like a random traffic stop where they check all that stuff or, you know, whatever. And he's like, you can't read? And Anthony's like, what do you mean? He's like, this is a one-way street.
Oh.
And Anthony's like, oh, I was driving down here just to talk to you, and I got a ticket and all, you know, for my expired tag and all this stuff. And the guy's like, oh, so that's your excuse. And he was so rude. He's like, so that's how you think you're going to get out of this,
Aww.
You know. And he was just so rude. And Anthony's like, no, I'm being serious. I totally didn't even know. He's like, what way the car's facing? what way the car is facing. And he's like, I didn't notice that. I'm like freaking out in Chicago, lost, trying to find you and all, you know. So anyway, the guy was so rude. And then he takes forever to verify all this stuff. Anthony can't find the proof of insurance, realizes it's not in the car. So he's like, not only, you know, are you driving with an expired tag, but now you don't have insurance. And you went the wrong way on the road and tried to weasel your way out of it. And anyway, the guy was just so, and we were thinking, not only are we going to get $5,000 in tickets, but we're also going to, you know, they're going to tow the car. If we don't have insurance, how would they not, like, tow the car? So we're just freaking out, and I'm sitting in the back like, oh, God, please help us, you know. And
she's trying to pray her way out of it in the back. That's another charge.
Exactly. So anyway, Anthony got we left there. He actually let us leave, but he took Anthony's license. He gave him a ticket for driving the wrong way on a one-way street. He gave him another ticket within 5 minutes of the other one for the expired tag, which I think is so bogus. I don't know how they can do that, but apparently they can. And he gave him a ticket for no insurance. And so it was just this huge drama, and it was unbelievable. And the guy was so rude and, like, so, like, I felt like I had killed somebody. Dang. And I wasn't even the one driving.
Well, if
and
you
the
guys,
more Anthony talked, the deeper he got in the hole.
All right, so this just happened yesterday, right?
Yes.
If there's anybody that listens to this show that works for the Chicago Police Force, now is the moment that God has selected you to come forward and just avenge. And
just stop scaring little people that go the wrong way on the road. They didn't mean to.
Yeah, they didn't mean to kill seven people.
Chicago is a scary place to drive in if you've ever driven in Chicago. Well, it's terrifying.
Any big city, Atlanta's like that. Oh, my God.
I mean, we don't have one-way streets.
No.
Where I live. We do not. No. Why would you have one-way street?
The children's ministry has one-way street, but only other children's pastors will actually get that joke. So if you got that joke, write in. I'll draw you a picture. You know, I actually drew a picture for somebody last week.
That's awesome.
All right, it's time
what
for
did the, they, what oh, did they get the picture for, though?
They knew the reference was from Jurassic Park.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
He left us. Anyway, it's time for...
It's the featured story.
All right, Amy, it's time for that featured story, and it's your week, so hit it, girl. You got five minutes.
All right, next time I decided I'm going to start busting out some stories that actually involve siblings so that I can keep with the theme of the show.
There you go.
But I had to tell this one because it was, when I first thought of stories, this was the one that stuck in my head the most because Mom used to always sew our clothes. I don't know if she ever sewed your clothes because you're a boy. But she always made me and Leanne and Jonathan David clothes.
I think I missed the sewing clothes phase.
So that was
Ginga.
There were a lot of phases.
Ginga sewed my clothes, though.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So Mom always made clothes. So she, at the time, I mean, we just thought that what she made was the most fabulous, most beautiful thing ever. And so one time when I was in middle school, she sewed this beautiful purple dress. My favorite color was purple. Mm. Oh, purple. I love it. It's beautiful. So she made me this super 80s up, ruffly purple dress, like 50,000 ruffle layers and like the big puffy ruffles on the sleeves. And it was just gorgeous. And so we were going on a field trip for middle school. And we were going to go see Montel Williams. And this was back in the day when he was a motivational speaker.
Yeah, he came to my school. Holy crap.
Yeah. He
came
was a
to
motivational
Camden County High School.
Yeah, so we were going to another town to see him at somebody else's middle school.
Oh, my goodness.
And like a group of...
I can't believe we have this in common, Amy. Who would have thought?
I know. My gosh. We must be related. No, that can't be
such
it.
Such a small world.
And so we were going to see Montel Williams and you know, the whole mountain move out of my way thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be a good guy. So anyway.
He shot kids in my mind. I mean, like, did this thing where he shot kids. It was
really. Yeah, it See, was, I don't actually remember anything about seeing him, and you'll understand why in a little bit. But we're going to see this guy, and I'm like, Mom, we're going to go on a field trip, and we're going to see all these people. I want to wear my dress.
Mm.
She's, no. No, you cannot wear this dress. You know, you're going to get ruined. You're just going to school. You're going to be on a bus. You're going to go to lunch, all this stuff. No, you're not wearing the dress. And me being a teen, preteen little brat, I'm like, I am wearing this dress. I don't care. Mm. So in the morning of the field trip, I get all dressed, decked out in my jeans and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And stuff nicely the dress in my backpack. So when I get to school, I change into the dress, and everybody's like, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, my gosh, where'd you get that dress? And all the reactions and things that I was looking for are mine.
It was
mine.
So worth it, yeah.
Oh, everything, it's just panning out exactly the way I wanted it to do, and my dream has come true. I'm finally the princess of the school, and we get on the bus. I'm so particular not to get anything on it. Make sure I look before I sit down. I'm not going to get caught. There's no way. I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
So we go to Montel, and it's huge. There's huge auditorium, tons and tons of middle schoolers, and everybody's like, everywhere I go, I get all these comments on my dress. I'm so beautiful. I'm a princess. And I'm like, I know. Stop it. And so then we all get situated and sat down, and Montel comes out. And all of a sudden they come over the loudspeaker and they're like, there's been a bomb threat. We're going to have to evacuate the building.
Aw, boo.
So they start to evacuate the building. Well, when they get the whole building evacuated, we're all standing in our groups outside. This the news crews start just driving up, like bolting into the parking lot, and it's like this raid, but it's like a raid of news crew.
Oh my gosh, don't tell
and
me.
So they all bust out and they get their cameras out, and I'm like hiding behind all of my friends because I'm like, Mom is gonna see this and I'm gonna die. She's gonna watch it. I'm like, look at
this. Is like a Boy Meets World episode or something.
Exactly. I was like, what news station is this? Do we get that in Old Town? And I'm like,
with the rabbit ears, yeah.
I'm like, no, actually, it was when we lived in the same areas. But oh. I was like, do we get this? And I was freaking out. And I was like, looking at all of them, and my friends are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I am not supposed to be wearing this dress. You don't understand. And so my friends start all messing around me, and they keep pushing me in front of the camera. And I'm like, I'm having these nightmares of Mom, like watching the news, and all of a sudden this purple flash gets pushed in front of the camera.
What was that? Play it back.
Like, rewind that on TiVo. And there was no TiVo, and I was just freaking out. And so then we went back in, and they were filming Montel, and the whole time I'm freaking out because I just know that I'm going to end up on one of these things. And obviously all these middle schoolers are jumping in front of the camera happily, and I'm the one hiding. And it's just so funny when I think of it now because it was such a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
That if I got on this camera and then I had to get back to school and change and it wasn't worth it. Right. Okay. I did not. But I was deathly afraid that I was going to get on camera. And in my mind at the time, that was the worst possible scenario I would get on camera. Mom would watch news. I don't even think Mom watched the news. But in my mind, that's what was going to happen.
Of course. Oh, my God. That's so hilarious.
All this extra drama.
The only thing that could have made it better is if you'd actually been interviewed and then Mom watched it and people were calling her and saying, I saw your daughter on the news.
If only we could embellish.
She looked like a princess. That was beautiful. In her jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah, really. What was so special about her jeans and t-shirt?
See, one time in Macon, Georgia, I worked at a t-shirt printing company, and they had the stinking President Clinton come to the city, and he was a block away. You could see it from the front door of the shop, and I was really impressed because they had all these guys in the alleyway. There were people dressed as homeless guys. There were people up on the roof. All of them had the glasses and the earpieces. And they lined the entire block all the way around with dump trucks. and they had washed the dump trucks, and they were clean dump trucks, and it was just really impressive. They'd even put shiny stuff on the wheels and junk, and I was out there looking at it all because my boss had been like, dude, they got, you know, dump trucks all the way around the block. I guess it was just to protect the president from anybody trying to ram, you know, the thing or any of that. So, I mean, he was in Georgia after all. But I go out there looking. Here comes the camera crew, and I started to try to turn away because I don't like it. I was dressed for printing T-shirts, okay? I had paint on me. I had an apron on, you know. But they said, sir, can we interview you? And I'm like, okay, sure, that'd be fine. And so she's like, oh, sir, are you excited about the president? And I say, well, I don't know nothing about that president. I don't know if you'd call me a Clinton supporter, but, man, they got a lot of dump trucks out here. They're pretty. They must have painted them and put. And I started doing this whole character thing. And let me just say, the interview didn't last long. And I was like, okay, I showed them, until some people from church came up and said, I saw you on the news. And I'm like, crap, they that used it.
So awesome.
Oh, I couldn't believe they used it.
They were like typical Georgian Americans.
Yeah, here he is working in this hole in the wall print shop, you know.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, so anyway, I just I thought I was coming off clean there, but anyway, not to rush us, but on my count you got less than 20 minutes, so it's time for
up next, news E&V mail.
Amy, we've got a lot of emails and V-mails and stuff like that. What I'll do is I'll save a lot of it for the end, and I'll just record it later.
All right.
We've got one from David G-Bout, and it was really,
really
good. Yeah, we've got some good ones, but I'm going to play this one for you here if you can hear it. I hope you can.
Hey, guys, it's Miriam. This story has to do with my cousin, and we'll... My cousin called me, and we were talking, and she told me about her dog peeing on her brother. And, well, my cousin was wearing a red shirt. And
that's it. It stops what? Right there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Her cousin was wearing a red shirt, and a dog had peed on it, and that's it. The voicemail cut off.
I need to know.
I know.
What happened?
I wanted to share.
I need to know why the color of the shirt was important.
Yeah, I want to know what the story was. So, Miriam, we're going to play your other voicemail later about your bird's head getting stuck. That's a good one.
But
I just wanted to torture you with that one, Amy. Here is another one that I wanted to share because let me preempt this one a little bit. You remember last week we kind of railed on our people about sending us these long stories and stuff?
Yeah.
This guy really took it to heart. But this is an example of what not to do.
Hello, nobody's listening. This is Mike from Kentucky, and I just wanted to share a story that always makes me laugh when I think about it. It was one summer when me and my friends were at camp, and we caught a chipmunk in our bathroom, and we were wondering what to do with it, so we decided to release it into the nearest cabin to us. Let's just say those campers weren't the happiest campers there, if you get what I'm saying. So their response was that they decided to spray a fire extinguisher into our cabin. So let's just say that the people in charge of the camp weren't very happy either that night. Well, guys, thank you for the time, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Okay, so, Amy, that he shortened it so much he left out all the details. Now, I was so inspired by that voicemail that I decided that we've been telling stories the wrong way all along. And so I went back through, and I would like to now retell our best stories from the last 26 episodes using his method of storytelling. So episode one, Hallelujah, right? I'll just say that one time I was sitting in my bathroom, and I was singing Hallelujah, and a repairman came in, and let's just say that repairman was pretty shocked. Episode three, The Basement Ghost Man. I had some guys in my basement. I told them a scary story, and let's just say those kids weren't sleeping anytime soon, if I need to tell you that. Episode 5, The Torture Chamber. I had two brothers, and I put them in a barrel. We spun them up, and let's just say they were pretty dizzy. Episode 7.
This is so much funnier than the way we normally originally did this.
Yeah, what were we doing wrong the whole time? Episode 13.
Such a waste of space.
Episode 13, the Auger Man. We were at this this place, and this guy, he told us some stuff that was pretty smart, and let's just say that was pretty annoying. Ugly Becky, episode 14. David found a girl on the internet, and he went to go see her, and let's just say he was pretty embarrassed. Episode 23, the free cow. Amy got a free cow, and let's just say that cow was pretty disappointing.
Dead.
And then last week, episode 26, blue butter. I threw some blue butter on my sister that I made from a science kit, and I don't think I need to tell you what my mother was like. So anyway, I just thought, I was laughing all week about that email voicemail. It wasn't funny at first, and then I'm like, dude, he was trying so hard not to take a long time.
He was trying.
Now, to his credit, and thank God he can kind of answer us, even though he didn't know he was going to. He called back and he told the story, and I'll play it at the end, and it is hilarious. He just all the details about the chipmunk, where the chipmunk was dancing on like people's heads and gnawing its way out of sacks, and how they caught it, and what the chipmunk was doing there in the first place. It's a pretty good story. So, but I'm gonna read one more. Email. We got tons of emails. Like I said, I'll hit them later. But there's one that won the best one, and I didn't even have to ask you about it. I already mailed out his button for this week. And if you guys were waiting for your buttons, it is on its way. I've sent out three of them. Let's see. Oh, here it is. This is from Stefan. Okay. It goes like this. One night I had the stomach flu. Oh, and by the way, this is the way to tell an email story. That before was an example how not to. This one is a perfect example of the story carrying, you know, being good on its own without all the prequel and all that stuff. So here goes. One night I had the stomach flu. I felt really bad. I woke up in the middle of the night and started to barf. I tried to keep the barf in my mouth, but my mouth started leaking.
Oh my gosh.
So I was on the top bunk of a bunk bed. So while I was going down the ladder, I started puking on my brother in the bottom bunk. I went to the bathroom to unload in the toilet. I made a trail of barf from my bedroom to the bathroom. My mom went to see what was wrong. Then my older brother comes in the bathroom wondering what was going on. He slipped on the barf and he had barf all over his back. He says, my mom laughed hysterically. I hope you like the story.
Oh, I can't believe he held the barf in his mouth. Oh my gosh, Jesse's little brother.
It's so gross, dude.
Oh.
But I went ahead and just told him, I'm like, dude, you got the best email this week. No. I'm sending you a button. Send me your address.
That is so awesome. Oh. I've never heard of that happening ever. Hey, can I tell you something real quick about blue butter?
Yeah.
You were talking about blue butter earlier, and it reminded me.
Okay.
This is what's weird, okay? This is the first encounter I've really had with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go over to my friend's house, and he's like, yeah, we invited some other people, too, and they like your podcast. And I was like, what? I can't do this. I can't perform. I can't be on 24 hours a day. This is a lot of pressure. And so it was just so weird because the guy comes in and he's like, I listen to Blue Butter. It was just so weird because he was like somebody I didn't know. And then all of a sudden he was in my face. And I was like, you're not supposed to really know who I am because I'm actually a very boring, annoying person. So now you know the truth. All those preconceived ideas you had about me being beautiful and my purple dress,
yeah,
it's all failed. I'm a regular old person.
Actually, your face is now on the new redesign of the website. Have you gone by and seen
it? I
saw
that.
It's a good picture.
I know, but I appreciate you finding something out of a magazine.
No, that was a picture of you just like two weekends ago on a camping trip. So
I was camping.
I did good.
You did. I was impressed because I was afraid of what
David
might come up.
David looked slightly like a demon possessed lion, but
looked a little deformed. I noticed, dude. Like almost like a character stretch. You know, like
yeah. But that's really the way he looks all the time. People just don't know it. It's when he makes weird faces that I get pictures that make him look normal. But I was a little bitter about him leaving.
There you go. So you got an ugly picture.
That's all. That's it. Awesome. Oh, man. Let me see if there's anything else in here I want to read or listen to before we go. The chipmunk story is coming up soon. Miriam in the red shirt. We read that one. I was promptly – oh, Mike from the Combobulator. He was the guy we railed on last week that had the long story. But I'll go ahead and read his. He says, I remember laying in bed one evening. My stomach started to cramp really bad. I decided to put up with it for a while, but eventually I had to go and complain to my parents. I was promptly dismissed and sent back to bed, but it didn't take long for me to confront them again, and I was instantly I insisted that I was really in pain. With hardly any sympathy, his stepdad shoveled a pile of indigestion tablets down his throat and told him to go back to bed. Well, that's what stepdads do, Michael. That's what they do. They can't. Stepdads are there for your mom. They're not there for you. You're extra.
That is so true.
All right. All the middle schoolers just turned emo right there. All of them. All our listeners who are middle schoolers now are emo. Anyway, hours passed. His stomach was getting worse and worse. Anyway, long story short, he went to the hospital. Turns out he had appendicitis. And so they were going to operate. They had all of it getting ready, and they asked him, did you have any medicine? And he says, yeah, well, my stepdad gave me some indigestion tablets, and they weren't very happy because they had to delay surgery and wait for the stuff to get out of their system because, the appendix is a part of your, tract there. So anyway, he says this happened on the run-up to Christmas. I guess that means –
again,
that they actually have Christmas up on a hill. Anyway, but anyway, he says,
well, no wonder he had appendicitis. He's running.
It gets weirder. The UK thing, they need to explain themselves. They just do. anyway, he says there were people bringing around presents to kids.
No, they were bringing round presents.
Oh, yes.
Round ones.
Round ones.
Just round. They were bringing round presents
to the kids on the ward. My round presents bring all the kids to the ward. I guess.
My round presents are better than
we
yours.
We call them floors, don't we? Anyway. Or wings.
Maybe they were crazy children.
Maybe so. Anyway, so they came over, and here's the thing. I had the choice of a cruddy badge or a box of chocolates. So what are they doing? What kind of badges are they handing out? Are these buttons? Are these police badges? What is this? Maybe badge means something different. But anyway, he had been told he wasn't supposed to eat anything, so he took a badge. And to this day, he still feels sorry for himself for having passed up on the chocolatey goodness. I don't feel sorry for you, Mike. You took a badge for Christmas. Somebody gave you a badge.
That is your deepest regret in life. Man. You have done good.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Actually, Michael,
seriously,
you need to go ahead and look in the mirror and say, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and dadgummit, you did pretty good with your life.
You make people happy.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Miriam wrote us, she outdid herself. She sent two voicemails, one which was incomplete, and then she actually sent us a story, which I'll read later. But anyway, Stefan, you won the badge, or the badge. You won the button, and it's on your way to you.
We're calling the badge.
Already.
A round badge.
And I wish we could do a recap song, but we can't, because Amy doesn't play guitar. But I'm playing with the idea of grabbing the guitar out of the next room and kind of soloing it after Amy gets off the telly.
So. Well, I could play the guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you played guitar.
Yeah, I know how to strum with a chip clip.
Don't even go there. Well, the problem is Skype.
With the best of them.
Skype doesn't allow for guitars and two vocals at the same time. I don't know what its deal is.
That's just rude. On Skype's part.
What did you just say about catfish brood? You chopped like a beast, and it sounded like you said, I've got my catfish brood.
I did. That's actually what I said.
What did you say?
I said, I think that's just rude on Skype. And that
I had no heck of an idea what you were saying just now.
And I still say that. That's my favorite.
Oh, my
gosh.
No
heck of an idea.
All right. Well, anyway, it must be that time. It must be that time to get out of here. All right. It's that time. Amy, let's remind them all of the things that they need to remember. They need to call us on the Nobody's Calling line at 206-600-5704. They could email us at any given time, 24 hours a day, at nobodyslisteningtous@gmail.com. Check us out on the forums. Don't ignore them. It's very important. Oh, we forgot news. We forgot news. Next week, we're doing a theme show. It's going to be called When Animals Attack. And we got that from Creo, a.k.a. Tom, from the forums. So, Tom, send us your address or a friend's address, and we will send you your button. Also, don't forget to send us a photo of yourself holding a sign for our main page. Also, we are updating the main page at least once a day with something cool and awesome that we found on the internet. Amy, I need to get you on there so you can learn how to make updates.
Yeah, really.
You do. You do. You need to do that. But
Totally.
You can check us out on the forums at nlcast.com/forums. You could go to the Frapper map, which is a map where you could put a pin in and let us know where you're listening from. A lot of people have done that. You can go to MySpace at myspace.com/nlcast, or above all, leave us an iTunes review. At last count, I think we had 87 reviews, Amy. It's insane.
Wow.
Most of them 5 stars. It's crazy what a little bit of money will do. It's right. It's great. Some buttons and some money. And
when you divide it up per person, we actually haven't shelled out that much
money.
That's
right. We have gotten rid of a bunch of round presents, though.
This?
All right. It's time to go, but until next time, remember that nobody's listening. All right, Amy, thanks. Well,
bye-bye.
Well, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Have fun at the drive-in. What are you guys going to see?
I think it's...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me by myself, and I'm going to go ahead and read our emails from that we missed in the show. Jason Hill from Chicago, Illinois writes, I spent a year playing the piano on a cruise ship. Large ships like that have many support beams running up and down through the floor to support all the decks. On one of the bottom three floors, there were poles showing up all over the place and right in the middle of a room, you know. And so they were in the staff mess, which is where they eat, and it was one of the main social centers of the boats. And so crew members were always there hanging out, and this was one such night. But there happened to be a 10-inch round pole right down the middle of the aisle between tables, if you can imagine that. Table on the left, table on the right. The aisle that you're supposed to be walking down has a pole right in the smack and center. So they were eating dinner one night, and a brand new crew member comes, and he's walking, and he's got his plate of food, and they all watched him as he ran smack dab into that pole while he was looking right at it. He walked right in that pole at full speed. The tray flipped up, the dinner smeared all over his shirt and pants, and the entire room erupted with laughter. And instead of laughing at himself for cleaning up his mess, he just turned around. He ran away while making this loud whining noise. It's terrible. Well, he says, I have to do the music in tomorrow's service, and I have to preach, so I'd better get ready for that. He says, tell Amy sorry again for misspelling her name. Just kidding, Amy. And so that's Jason Hill from Chicago, Illinois, which undoubtedly he's a worship leader of some kind and a part-time minister. Well, praise the Lord. Miriam writes, all right, James, Amy. This is Miriam, and James knows it's the weird Mexican that he's talked to on MySpace. I have talked to a strange Mexican on MySpace. I didn't realize it was you. Anyway, she writes, well, my cousin and I went to the mall the other day to see a movie. Both of us were wearing flip-flops, and hers were kind of old. We had to use the restroom. We were kind of power walking. See, that's the thing, Miriam. When you wear flip-flops, you're kind of making a decision for the whole day. And that decision is, I'm not going to move very fast. My wife actually almost broke her ankle stepping off of a bus on some flip-flops. And when she went to go get her ankle fixed, the doctor said that those flip-flops keep him in business, because he was like a foot doctor. But anyway, they were power walking, and her cousin, let's call her Lucy, was walking in front of me, and she suddenly stops, which caused me to run into her. And I was like, geez, Lucy, why did you stop? And she looks down, and she has horror on her face. I don't know what horror looks like, but Miriam does. Anyway, she looks down, and where she sees her flip-flop has broke, the part, you know, that always breaks, the part between your big toe and the rest of your toes. So her foot went through her flip-flop, and she was just laughing because there she is standing in the middle of a parking lot of the mall, and she has one flip-flop, and she's holding the other broke flip-flop in her hand with this horrified, embarrassed look. Well, to make matters even worse, I didn't realize how bad I needed to go to the restroom, Miriam says. And I was laughing really hard, and I was like, oh my gosh, Lucy, I have to pee, while she was laughing. And so we run to the bathroom to get to a store so she can buy herself another pair of flip-flops, limping all the way there because she tried to fix the flip-flop so she wouldn't have to walk barefooted. And said she looked like a very unsmart person with a limp leg. So I hope all you middle schoolers out there enjoyed that story, because, you know, it was all right. It was all right, Miriam, but you can do better. You can do better. That was one of those things that you have to be there for. Unless somebody broke something, or, you know, a cop was involved, or there was a misunderstanding, it's just not that great. But anyway, I think that's all of our emails.
It's what the world's been waiting for. The recap song.
Amy had a purple dress. She wasn't allowed to wear it, but she said, I'm going to see a Montel Williams thingy, and I'd like to look my best. All the pains she went through, she shoved her dress in a little backpack and got on the bus to school. And then she changed. And just like Jane Hathaway, she was suddenly alive. I know that dreams are not blind. I don't need wings to help me fly, 'cause miracles happen once in a while if you're not Amy. Well, she went to the show, and suddenly a bomb threat was called, and you know it's just her luck. She had to go outside while the news crews came. It was all the same as it's happened before. All her friends tried to push her out the door toward the front so she'd be recorded and reported to my mom. Amy, why did you try so hard? Don't you know you're gonna get beat hard? 'Cause the miracles don't happen once in a while if you're Amy. I don't know why you thought you could. Mom's gonna hit you with a big piece of wood. Miracles don't happen, oh, if you're Amy. I know that dreams make us blind. Amy, you better grow rings so you can fly and stay off the TV. At least you need to try, 'cause you better believe that you're gonna get beat down. Now a little song about Miriam. Why'd you leave us half a message? Why'd you call about your cousin's red shirt? Only to hang up and hurt our feelings. You better call back real soon and give us the rest of that tune and let us know what happened. Why your cousin has a red shirt with cat pee on it? Did it get into his wallet? I don't know. There was a guy that called in on the voicemail, and he said the only thing he wanted to hear was to hear his name referenced on the podcast during the recap song. Since my sister had to go because the song was too long, she had to go to a show. I just have to say, you know who you are. Sorry I couldn't play the thing first and then record this song, 'cause then you would hear your name in it. Maybe even though I'm trying to think of something that's not the word long, but I couldn't. Let me try one more. Yes, we want you to shorten your voice and emails, but the guy that's sending the chipmunk story took it way too well, and he left out all the details, but you will hear them later. Please don't send us a story that has only 5 or 6 words. Gator? Oh, where's David? He knew how to do this thing so much better. It freed my mind to think of just the words instead of the tune. Oh, David, I'm sorry for picking on you all the times you lost that tune and the rhythm. Oh, man, I miss him. I hope you're doing well. I hope we hear from you soon. Tried to Skype you and we got hung up on. I guess it's because Ireland doesn't like you talking to us. They've kept you and they're not going to let you go. Well, I guess that's about it. Hope you enjoyed the FACO recap song. Bye.
Don't put it down!
Hey, nobody's listening. This is Mike from Kentucky, and I just wanted to share a funny story that I have. So, the story starts when I was in Wisconsin with my friends at a camp that's a Christian camp. I am a Christian, just like you guys, and we had a chipmunk hole in our bathroom, and so we caught a chipmunk, and we're wondering what to do with it. So, the second to last night, we decided to release it into the cabin next to us. Well, when we released it, half the guys were going, "Catch it, catch it, catch it!" The other half were going, "Ah! Ah!" and jumping on the bed. So, eventually, their counselor caught it in a sleeping bag and was going to bring it back to our cabin to release it back into our cabin. So, when he was bringing it over, the chipmunk decided he didn't really like being in the sleeping bag. He jumped out and landed on the counselor's head, and the counselor screamed and went running. So, they ended up responding with a fire extinguisher into our cabin, which really wasn't fun. The people in charge of the camp weren't happy either, because there goes a fire extinguisher, and those things aren't cheap to get refilled. So, thanks, guys, for the time, and just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And the only request I have is that you mention me in the recap song. My name is Mike from Kentucky.
Hey guys, it's Miriam from North Carolina. And, well, the story I'm about to tell you involves my brother and our pet cockatiel. And, well, in order for us to sometimes get a hold of our bird, we have to kind of cup our hands to get around him so he can climb onto our hands. And, well, earlier my bird was on top of his cage, and on top of most bird cages there's a little handle so you can hang them up. And my brother was around the bird, and he wanted to get a hold of him, and so he cups his hands, and it kind of freaked the bird out. And so the bird started running across his cage, and, well, like I said before, the hook part, the handle where you hang it up from the top, was sticking up, so it was up instead of down flat on the thing. And the bird runs straight across into the thing, into the handle, so his head's stuck in there. And it's not every day that you see a cockatiel's head in a birdcage handle. But the bird's alright, and I decided to tell you that. It's one of those things that you have to be there to see it. It was really funny. Thanks for letting me share, guys. Bye.
Hey, James and Amy. This is John. It really doesn't matter that I'm telling you my first name, since John is a very common name. But whatever, I'm John someone from somewhere. It's about 4 in the morning where I am, and so I decided to call your podcast. I really have no stories, but I was just calling to tell you that I nominated you for Best Comedy Podcast of the Year at podcastaward.com, podcastawards.com, and I would suggest everyone else that's listening to this do that too, because, if figure you might make it to the top 10, even though the top 5 is all that really matters. Yes, I know, I'm very positive. Thanks. Bye.
James, Amy, greetings. My name is Jessica. I wrote an email way back in the bike episode days and thought I'd leave my first voicemail. So, one Saturday afternoon, my boyfriend and I, whom you've dubbed Super Lucky Boyfriend, and he couldn't have been happier for it, decided to go get some lunch. So we head down to the local family Mexican franchise eatery in town. We walk in, and the greeter informs us he has just the table for us. On our way, we pass this big group of people sitting on high top tables. We sit, and then realize this group of people are in full Irish folk dancing garb. Some weird green lederhosen, wearing white stockings, bells around their ankles. And it's about this same time they begin to sing. Well, belt out an Irish folk song, loud and proud. This continues about a song every 5 minutes or so. It's not too much of a big deal. We're cool about it. But then the group, about a group of eight or so, get up with their bells and their tambourines and their handkerchiefs, and to the direct side of our table, line up to do a dance. A long, noisy, bell-filled Irish dance, which I watch while enjoying my chimichanga. But that was just something so surreal that I just had to share it, since I had no heck of an idea what was going on. Anyway, Amy, A-I-M-E-E, I think you're an awesome addition. I love that the podcast is still going strong until David is able to come back. Bye.
Hi, this is Paul's dad. You might remember Paul. He was a guest star on your podcast a while back when David wasn't able to be there. Anyway, I wanted to tell you a quick story about Paul when he was a little bit younger. We were on vacation, and we were somewhere in the great state of Oklahoma, and we were at this hotel, and we'd spent the night. It was one of those holodomes and that has the cool pool area and all the arcade and that kind of thing underneath the dome in the middle of the hotel. Anyway, that next morning we got ready to leave, and so I took my young son Paul, who was probably about 8 or 9 years old, I took him to the front desk in order to check out, and we did just do that. We checked out, and we were coming back towards the room that we were staying in, which is on the second floor, and we were obviously on the ground floor in the Holodome proper area itself, and so I got this great idea of sticking Paul up on the balcony of the second floor outside of his mom's window, because I knew that his mom was right inside that window and she was ironing some clothes. There weren't actually balconies, it was just kind of a concrete little slab that stuck out about 8 to 10 inches that you could stand on if I got him up that high. So I pushed him up there and he climbed up, and just as he began to bang on the window real loud to scare his mom, I looked up and I happened to notice that the window next to the slab that Paul was standing on, the next room over apparently, I saw his mom in that window, and she was indeed ironing, and it looked like she was having a good time. About that time, I looked back at Paul, and he was continuing to bang on the window, and just about half a second later, right before I could yell, Paul, I don't know what I was going to yell, but I was going to yell something, just short of a cuss word. But prior to my ability to do that, the curtain flew back, and there is a big, ugly man standing in nothing but his boxer shorts, wondering who in the heck is banging on his window. And I'm not sure what happened. I saw Paul kind of wave at him, but after that, I just left. I took off, so I didn't figure I was going to get Father of the Year award, so no sense in hanging around. But I took off and left, and about 2 or 3 minutes later, Paul come busting in the room, screaming at me and laughing his head off, and we don't ever know what happened to the man in the boxer shorts. But anyway, that's a Paul Godbout tale of the tape type of a story. Didn't know if you could use it or not. If you can, you have my permission. I will sign off on any kind of releases that you would need, because I know that Paul will be indeed a famous rock star sometime, and I'd hate to see the NL cast to be sued. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your flight.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.